The availability of daycare can have significant impacts on the workforce. Grow Hayes Executive Director Doug Williams talks to us about that situation locally on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Whether you're talking about daycare, whether you're talking about housing and those type of things, they all tie back to workforce. And, you know, clearly we have a low unemployment rate here, 2.7% in June. We have lots of help wanted signs around, and daycare plays a role in that. So it is a economic issue for Ellis County, and really for all of rural Kansas, and maybe all of the country when you get right down to it. But we don't have enough daycare. We don't have enough affordable daycare, whatever that is. You know, we talk about affordable housing. We talk about affordable daycare, and that's very unique to the individual who is paying for it. But daycare is a challenge for our community, and one that we need to try and figure out some answers to.
Yeah, and I want to talk about answers or some ideas, because in all seriousness, you don't have all the answers. Maybe you do on this one. Let's go through them. We'll figure it out. But you've got some ideas on how we can correct that. But, you know, just throwing this out anecdotally, this kind of comes off the conversation we had last time, you know, with the unemployment and the job, finding the right position. I read a story recently, and it was in a newspaper, I don't remember where, but basically it was this woman that she was in a restaurant job, you know, irregular hours, not the best of pay, I'm sure. She went into just delivery driving. She was like, I think an Uber driver, and with her kid. So she saved all the daycare costs. She was making more money. And she says, at this point, why would I go back into that kind of hospitality work when I can do this? And it's just, you know, literally almost doubling her income.
Well, and I think we see a lot of that. We see mothers or fathers who stay at home with their kids because the economics just don't work for them. By the time they pay for one child, or much less if they have two or three children that are in daycare, there's no way they can make that work. And so they have to find another way, whether it's an Uber driver or whether it's staying at home or what have you. So that's a challenge. The flip side of that is that the daycare providers, they have a tough road to go too, because the economics of the state regulations make it very difficult for a daycare provider to make ends meet, to have a successful, profitable business.
Yeah, and City Commissioner Ron Mellick, when he was here, he talked a little bit about that as well, that it is really overburdensome, but, you know, at the same time, you want the kids to be safe. I think, do you think there's a happy medium there that maybe leans a little bit less into that regulated side?
Well, I do. I think, you know, safety first, no question about that. And that's the primary objective. You have to make sure the kids are safe and in a good environment. But as an example, the Western Kansas Rural Economic Development Alliance, which is a group that we're a member of, our organization is, consists of about 52 counties in Western Kansas. And we go through every year legislative issues that we feel need to be brought to the surface and need to be considered. And one of them is child care. And in our investigation, as an example, Kansas is one of three states that requires a one provider for every three infants. 32 states have one provider for every four infants. 18 states, I believe, have one provider for every five. And then there are a few states that have one provider for every six. You know, there is a happy medium there, and we're at the extreme end of it and need to give some consideration to changing that ratio, which changes the economic impact for a daycare center. You know, you can only charge so much per child, per infant, to provide care, whatever that number is. Maybe let's just use, I think in some cases, about $2.50 an hour per infant. So if one provider can provide care for three of them, that's $7.50 an hour that you can generate in revenue, and yet you're paying that person $10, $12, whatever per hour. I mean, that's a loss. Now, maybe you can make that up at some level on some of the other kids where you can have a greater ratio, but it needs to be revisited, not to mention all the other factors and regulations that they put on some of these daycare providers in terms of requirements they have. That is a problem that keep people from considering that as a vocation and opening up a business.
Yeah. I tell you, there was a daycare center that opened here recently, and when they were opening, they had problems with the state regulation. The regulators didn't even know. Like they had kind of set up their business in a particular way that would maximize their profits with the students that they could have in there. And then the state come in at the last second and said, no, this actually isn't right. You have to move, you know, and it was something with age range and class sizes there. But if it's so burdensome that the people regulating it don't even know, I think there's definitely a red flag there.
There is. I know the licensing process has been changed, and it's much more cumbersome to become a licensed provider. There are limitations. In talking with one of the local providers, I think it was 59 kids is the magic number. If they go over that, they have to jump into a bunch more expense areas and a full-time dietitian or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it is, but the legislature needs to revisit that. So we need to be talking to our representatives and making sure that they put that on the top of the list. You know, the other thing I was going to mention, James, we have an issue in Hayes, but if you look out in Western Kansas in some rural areas, it's much worse. I've heard of cases where people drive their kids from Ransom to Hayes, drop them off, go back to Ransom to work, and then come get them after work. I mean, Plainville, the same thing.
Well, even Ellis, the city commission there, or the school board, rather, kind of contemplated building a daycare center because most of their parents are driving to Hayes. So their thinking is that those kids are then going to school in Hayes rather than going back to Ellis, which is bad for the school district.
Sure. They lose headcount in the school mm-hmm. district, and people use a lot of time going back and forth. So,
although it's a beautiful drive.
Well, it is that. But there's so we have some issues we have to deal with, and certainly we have to figure out how we provide more and more affordable daycare in some situations for those who maybe cannot afford what traditionally daycare costs.
So, you know, in Hayes, you know, it's one of those situations where I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about these other cities, and it's one of those, again, situations where, you know, we all have to work together to alleviate the problem. But, you know, let's talk about it. Like, what do we do when we have these shortages in staffing? You know, it's not like the housing where you can just build houses. Like, how do you encourage people to go into that and, you know, locally?
Well, one of the concepts that we're working on, and we've talked a little bit about before in this retiree community that we're proposing north of the hospital, would contain a community center. And within that community center, we envision a daycare being part of that, utilizing retirees in some cases to potentially provide assistance in a daycare on a volunteer basis, which would lower the cost. If we could provide the facility to the daycare operator at reduced or no rent, perhaps they could provide some daycare for people on a scholarship basis that if they meet certain income requirements. You know, I hate to get into all the administration of that, but the reality is there are some people that if they have an entry-level job, they just cannot afford daycare, and yet employers need that person in their business. So perhaps there could be some sort of a scholarship program. And again, we're just trying to think outside the box. And I could foresee the day where some employers have to start figuring out, okay, part of our facility has to be dedicated to daycare.
Well, and I did want to ask about that. You know, as a businessman, I think you would have a concept. I mean, I'm sure you've probably not delved into the numbers exactly, but, you know, say a business like, well, just throw Eagle Radio as an example here. I don't know how many employees we have in the building. Let's call about 30. You know, at what point does it become feasible for a business to bring on a daycare provider and, you know, provide that benefit to employees? Does it need to be a large amount of students, or could you make it work with even like three or four kiddos in the building?
And that's something I think businesses have to explore. Again, they have to think outside the box. I don't know what the licensing requirements would be for an Eagle Radio or anybody like that to set up a daycare within their facility and offer it to their employees. But I think it is something people need to look at, because it's a need, and it has a direct impact on the employees. So we've got to do something along those lines and get outside the box in our thinking to resolve some of these things.
I was doing the math real quick here, a little napkin calculation, and just to put a pinpoint on it, if I had 5 children in daycare, it would cost me more to work than not.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people who are in that situation.
Yeah.
Now, not that necessarily have 5 kids, but you know, not everybody makes as much money as you do, James.
Well, so, yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly, you know, if you're in an entry level, which is where we really see that hurting in the labor market, you know, that entry level, that beginner job, and especially in the hospitality industry, I mean, that's untenable.
It is. And we may see a day where the school system deals with this. I'm sure they've talked about it. I don't know that the state is real interested in expanding public education to the point where it includes some level of daycare. Well, if they're not, then they maybe need to think about, okay, what do we need to do with the current regulations to streamline those, particularly for rural areas, because the situation is different in rural areas than it is metropolitan areas. Whether they want to admit it or not, it is. And we have a different set of problems, and we have to be able to approach it in different ways as opposed to just a one-size-fits-all. And so I think we're going to see, this is not a small issue. I think we're going to see lots of different things happening and lots of different levels on this.
Yeah, and I'm curious, you know, if from your perspective, what can an organization like Grow Haste do? And I just mean it kind of a general and economic development organization. We've talked about this before, the different kinds there are and different funding levels. And I understand some people have more resources in that department, but again, like what kind of activities or actions can a group like yours or maybe even some of the other organizations similar to yours in the region take?
Well, one way is through our Credo organization that I mentioned earlier, that we're lobbying for some changes, and that, you know, that's a small group of people get together, they make a larger group, and so they have a larger voice to be heard. And we address multiple issues, daycare being one of them, at the state level, so we can do that. As an organization, Grow Haze, we can talk to our state representatives, make sure they understand that this is a problem. And then part of what we're doing is the other, like the community center with the daycare in it. We've got to look for creative solutions to solve the immediate problem. That's the real challenge. You know, all these problems come up, and it's like the gentleman who spoke last night, he has an immediate problem. His child care provider quit, and now he's got to find somebody to take care of his child before school starts. So I think his wife is a school teacher. Well, that's hard to solve those problems real quickly. It's kind of like housing. You know, you can't build a house or apartments or what have you overnight. It takes a period of time. Same thing here. But we've got to start the process. And that's the legislative issues and then working for creative solutions locally to try and increase the number of providers we have. I know both the daycares, have waiting lists or long leads to get into them, you know, the larger daycares and the at-home daycares seem to be closing at an alarmingly rapid rate. And so we've got to come up with some solutions along those lines.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the home daycares, and, you know, I've had my children in all types. You know, I've went for the big, massive daycare, preschool kind of centers that have 1,000 kids, and I've sent them to, you know, very great local folks that I just happen to know, and you're paying them kind of under the table. But I'm wondering, you know, in that regard, like, why is it that is not such an enticing business model anymore, that those folks are backing out of that, those small private home daycares?
I think we hit on its regulation. It's too much trouble, too much cost to meet all the requirements. And so they say, I'll go do something else. And that's unfortunate because, you know, some of those people are great providers. There's one of the items that our CRETA group has said is that from age 0 to 3, 85% of your personality and mental makeup and that type of thing are developed. So that experience from 0 to 3 is very important. And we need to make sure that that's a good experience for as many kids as we can.